Hall. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. June 25th, 1903. Dear Sister Hall, I shall be very glad to see you again. I am expecting you sometime in July. When you write, please tell me when you are planning to come. We shall have many things to talk of when we see each other again. Please write to me when you receive my letters, that I may know that they reach you. I have kept very well since the warm weather came. I am surprised that at my age I am favored with such good health. I can go up and down stairs as easily and as quickly as any member of my family. Generally, I am cheerful. I do not want to cast a shadow in my family. I desire that every word that falls from my lips shall be fragrant with Christ-like love. Last Wednesday morning, Sarah and I in the single surrey, and Brother James, Mr. and Mrs. Bedell, and some of Brother James's children started for an 8-mile drive up Howell Mountain to a place where there is a large quantity of small black cherries. Our carriages were drawn up under the trees, and I picked 19 quarts, sometimes sitting on the carriage seat and sometimes standing on it. Among us, we picked 4 boxes. Of these, Mrs. Nelson canned 2 boxes, making 60 quarts. Brother James, Miss Peck, and Mrs. Bedell had the rest. These cherries are very rich. The juice is almost black. I feel so thankful for the physical strength and mental clearness that the Lord gives me. I am filled with an intense desire to do my work wisely, in such a way that it will bring glory to God. My principles are not to be molded or fashioned by any human being. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. I want to accustom myself to commune with God. I want to cherish a constant realization that He is everywhere. He has shown Himself to be a God who hears and answers prayer. Graciously, He manifests Himself as a comforter. He is revealed in the teachings of His Word, in the lessons and parables of Christ. As we study this Word, our minds will expand. We shall gain spiritual strength. I am preparing for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for those who love Him. This He would have all do. He desires us to be earnest students of His Word, that we may be sanctified through the truth. Let us look to Jesus in perfect faith, sitting at His feet and learning of Him. Let us give ourselves to God to be used in any way that He may see fit. Then our usefulness will appear. We shall have increased faith. We have been commissioned to go forth as God's missionaries. In the Bible, we learn what work God has given us to do, and there too, we learn how to do this work. No one can know the will of God so certainly as he who abides in Christ. There are some who are constantly inquiring and speculating and guessing, but who, instead of advancing, are retrograding. They are not united with Christ. We are not to stumble along in uncertainty. Christ says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Mark 8, verse 34. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. As we advance, we become used to following. The path of life shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. How deeply grieved the Savior is by the loss of one of the souls for whom He made so great a sacrifice. He would bring all into the kingdom of heaven. He desires all to see the King in His beauty. How pleased the enemy would be if he could keep God's workers in constant perplexity because of the inconsistent course of professing Christians. Let us not keep looking at the defects of others. Let us look ever to Jesus. The world is perishing in sin, while unconverted, unconsecrated Christians are making as much trouble as possible. There are sinners to be saved, and in word and deed, we are to fulfill Christ's purpose for them as His agencies of healing. The great mass of professing Christians will meet with bitter disappointment in the day of God. They have not upon their foreheads the seal of the living God. Lukewarm and half-hearted, they dishonor God far more than the avowed unbeliever. They grope in darkness when they might be walking in the noonday light of the Word under the guidance of one who never errs. Oh, what a sad representation our people are giving to the world by their contention, their gossiping, their fault-finding and accusing. If they would read and study their Bibles, they would be ashamed of their weakness and inefficiency. Their inconsistency is a stumbling block to sinners. They have no faith in themselves and no confidence in those who are loyal and true.
How true are the words of Paul. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Oh, that the people of God would arouse to see themselves as they are in their backslidden condition. But they will not receive the testimonies sent to help them, and in this they have encouragement from some ministers. But God is not with them. How solemn are the warnings given in the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. These warnings point to stern realities which will shortly come to pass. But the many warnings of God's word are neglected. Oh, how sad, when those claiming to be Seventh-day Adventists are converted, when they return to their first love, they will begin to work to save perishing souls. I am making earnest efforts to win the crown of life, which, at the last great day, the Judge of all will give to those who love His appearing. Let us not allow our lips to be tarnished by unbelief. Let us talk the truth. Let us refuse to be deceived by the seducing spirits that will come. Sister Hall, will it not be a blessed thing to be an overcomer, to sit with the royal family in the kingdom of heaven, to have a place in the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for those who love His appearing? Be of good courage, my sister. Let nothing discourage you. Keep cheerful. Stand under the bright rays of the sun of righteousness. I must stop now. May God bless you, is my prayer. I shall send this to Sister Whitney to hand to you. If you have left Battle Creek, she will know where to send it.